Welcome back to the Multi-Channel Seller Podcast. My name is Josh and I am your host. So if you haven't noticed already, the microphone I'm using is a new microphone. So like I said, new things are happening. I had put together a studio. I now have a studio and I'm working out of there now. And I got new things coming up. But with that being said, I am deciding to pause on the podcast and come back to it maybe within a month or so. I plan on not being away no longer than a month, just to give me time to hone in on my ideas, hone in on my message, hone in on how I want this podcast to grow and what direction I want it to go in. Because like I mentioned before, I am, you know, used to be a hobby podcaster, right? You could put it in that category where I'm just recording and things like that. But I don't want to do, I don't want to have the hobby approach anymore. I want to have a real thing. So that's the transition that I'm making right now. And so, you know, things are changing, things are happening. So that's what I'm going to be working on over the next couple of weeks. So we'll, you know, after this episode, we'll be back up short, you know, within a month. That is the goal, within a month. So with that being said, let's talk about today's topic. Today's topic is, or today's episode title, rather, is Hard Times Create Strong Sellers. And we are in interesting times, right? And economically, we'll focus on that. Economically, we're in interesting times. You know, we have interest rates going up, which they haven't been up for, you know, almost two decades now. They're going up to rates that we haven't seen in almost two decades. You know, we're having a lot of supply chain issues and shortages, and there's a lot of problems. You know, there's a lot of problems if we're talking about economics. And with that being said, it's becoming a little bit more challenging for business owners on every level. And it's been challenging ever since right before COVID. And COVID really exposed a lot of businesses, and a lot of people went out of business for political reasons. And a lot of companies and businesses went out of business for other reasons. You know, they're already dying businesses, and that was like the final straw. But anyways, so over the last couple of years, we've been facing a lot of challenges. And if you're a seller, if you're a business owner, you've been feeling some pain. You know, you've been feeling some pain, including myself. But what I'm here to tell you is, when we make it through this, if you make it through this, if you commit and decide and are determined to overcome this, you're going to come out on the other side way ahead of any competition, way ahead of any new person coming up trying to, you know, take market share from you. You're going to come out so far on top. You're going to be so strong. You know, your balance sheet, your income, all of that stuff is going to be so strong by the end of this, because you're going to go through things. You're going to go through hard things that people who are coming up when times become good again, those people coming up in those times trying to start businesses, they have no idea what it's like to, you know, be in a sucky business environment. But you do, and you survived it. So you're going to come out very strong and on top. So with that being said, let's get to the monologue. The monologue I titled is called Paranoia and Persistence. Okay. You want to survive hard times, you better have some paranoia and some persistence. This all makes sense very shortly. My main question to you right now is, do only the strong survive? I want you to think of two different scenarios to help you answer that question. Do only the strong survive? What if you're strong? Whatever strong means, okay? And it doesn't have to be you. It could be anybody, but I'm just saying you. So what if you're strong, but you overestimate your ability to survive? and you overestimate it so much that you no longer have that feeling to flee in a fight or flight response situation. You're numb to it. Or let's say you're not numb to it, and you just deliberately only choose to fight. You never flee any situation. You want to fight all the time because you think that's the best option for whatever reason. Do you still survive? Is it still only the strong survive in that situation? Think of another situation, another scenario rather. Very general scenarios that I'm giving. But what if you're strong? Okay. But you sit on that strength and you never apply it in a direction that has a destination. Do only the strong survive then? My answer is no. I'd say no. There's something to say about having a sense of paranoia, to not be overly confident that success, that whatever success that you're having will continue to last. And it will continue to last without you constantly scanning your environment and acting on potential threats to your business. And, you know, there's always threats to a business. And the last thing I would say is, the last thing I'll say in a monologue, rather, is you also need a will to persist. Excuse me. You need a will to persist. Because you need that with being strong. How good is your strength if you're not using it purposefully? All right, so we're going to get into two segments. The first segment, we're going to talk about macro. We're going to get into some macro ideas on what's happening right now. You know, what's happening now and what to look out for. And then we're going to canvas some micro situations. Let's try to bring it down to the individual seller or the individual business owner, rather. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get started. I tried to turn my phone down. It was buzzing. So anyways, so what's happening right now, right? So we have interest rates are constantly a conversation. Are they going to go up? Are they going to stop going up? Are they going to come down? Listen, the only thing we do know right now is what has been happening, you know, the past, the history, not the far past, but the recent past. The recent past is interest rates have been rising. Now, I'm not going to get in too deep on the definitions, rather. I'll try to explain it if what I'm saying sounds a little murky. I'll try to explain some things. But for right now, when I say interest rates, just think of, if you're not familiar with it already, just think of interest rates on credit cards, mortgages, and car loans, okay? Now, interest rates are just, you know, they're all over the place. But think about those things. Now, they're increasing. There's a reason why they're increasing, but I won't go too deep into that. We just need to, all we need to know is that they've been increasing. That's actual fact over the past year, rather. And what you need to understand about that leads to a shrinking economy. The goal of the, what's called the Federal Reserve, I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. See, what they do is they, you know, I hate to use the word, but they manipulate the economy. And manipulation is not always a bad thing, but I'm using it because that's, by definition, that's what's happening. So they're manipulating the economy because there's too much expansion over the last, you know, 10 years, but a lot of expansion since, you know, the beginning of COVID, because there was a lot of money being flooded into the market, which was the stimulus checks, which that was part of the money being flooded into the market. But what happens is when you give people money, or you give people access to money very easily, what tends to happen is they start buying things. And the demand for those things go up because more people have money. And then when the demand goes up, what happens? Prices go up. Now, the opposite is happening. Or that's the idea of the Federal Reserve in terms of raising rates. They want the opposite to happen. They want to take money out of people's hands. And they want people to save their money. They want people to be more conscious about their money. Because what happens is the demand for goods and services comes down. And in that situation, the prices for those goods and services tend to come down. So that's what I mean by interest rates. The increasing of interest rates, which is the you can say car loans, mortgages, and the third one I mentioned. I'll come back to it. But anyways, interest rates, when interest rates on those things and in general, when they start coming down, people stop wanting to buy them as much. And then as a result, prices for those items will come down because the sellers want to sell their products, but they can't sell them at the higher prices. They keep lowering the price to try to entice people to purchase these goods and services. So at a macro level, that's what's happening. Well, that is the goal of the Federal Reserve when they're raising interest rates. That is the goal, rather. So the goal is to have people, to make people have less money and encourage them to save. Okay. And here's what happens. Let's bring it back to you on a micro level. Okay. So your customers, right? They become more price conscious. They become more conscious. And there's a spectrum to this. That's not to say that every single customer is going to, every single customer of every single good and service is going to want to spend less money. That's not always the case. But that is generally how it works, generally speaking. So your customers are going to become less. They have access to less amount of money. So when they're borrowing money, they don't want to borrow money because the interest rates are, you know, increasing. And not only that, they don't want to spend their money because they want to save it. So what happens to you? You know, your sales start dropping a little bit and then it drops to whatever it drops to. You know, everybody's going to be different. In good times, you can get away with selling commodities. See, in good times, you can get away with selling commodities. Now, here's what I meant by spectrum a moment ago when I said not everybody is going to want to not part with their money. There are some people who are still willing to pay a premium for products and services. But in good times, you can get away with selling commodities. Commodities are products and services that don't differentiate from each other. So if one brand is selling a spatula, I go to the spatula example. I'm a former Amazon seller. So if you were following Amazon content years ago, that was one of the the analogies that people brought up a lot of content creators. But anyway, if you're selling a spatula, and then your friend is selling spatulas, then your other friend's selling spatulas, and then there's a whole competing market of people selling spatulas, they're pretty much the same. They pretty much work the same way for the most part. It's a commodity. Now, unless your spatula can clean itself, unless your spatula can fly, unless your spatula can hold itself in the air, then you don't have a commodity anymore. You actually have something very unique that no one else can do, or that no one else can make their spatula do. But if your spatula is just like everybody else's spatula, then it is a commodity. See, in good times, you can get away with commodities because a lot of people are spending their money and they're not thinking about what they're buying. So they're just buying whatever is the most convenient. So if your spatula is on the top page of an Amazon search, yours is going to get bought. If it's the second, If it's second listed on the Amazon search for spatula, you're gonna get a sale. If it's the 10th, or if it's on the second page rather on the Amazon search, you're probably not gonna get a sale. Now, in bad times, a person generally is going to take a look at the page. They're gonna go further down the line on page one of an Amazon search, for example, just to see which one is better. Which one does better? And if nothing on that first page is what they're looking for, they're willing to go to the second page because they are already reluctant to part with their money. So if they're gonna part with their money, they're going to part with their money for a good reason. That's what happens in bad times. But that's also where the opportunity is. That's how you get out of, that's how that is how you still do well in bad times. With that being said, it is in that situation where you're selling products that are differentiated from the competitors. In that situation, you're very focused on branding, right? You're branding your products because you are focusing on differentiating yourself from everyone else. You're focusing on being different, and you're also focusing on being better, you know? So you can be different and better. That's what you gotta strive for. It's very simple to explain. It's easier said than done, but that's actually where the clarity is on what we have to do moving forward. So if you're already focused on branding and being different, being better, you'll be okay. You have to continue focusing on it so that way you continue to outshine competitors who are trying to do the same thing, but you're actually ahead of the game. More so than people who are just coming out of commodities. And it doesn't, you know, don't feel bad about it if you're selling commodities right now. Don't feel terrible. I'm hoping you feel energized. I'm hoping you get a sense of clarity on what direction you need to go in. I'm hoping you get a sense of enthusiasm now that you understand what you need to be doing moving forward. And then here's what I mean. This circles back to going back to good times. So if you end up differentiating yourself, because that's what you got to focus on, constantly differentiating yourself and constantly communicating that you're better than everyone else in your market or your niche, rather. If you do that all during the bad times, now, here's the thing about bad times. Bad times always turn into good times, always. We just don't know when, but it always does. So not only will you succeed during the bad times because you've been focusing on branding, when the good times start to rise, guess who's first in line when all that money starts coming back into the market? When people aren't really conscious about their spending, who are they going to spend it on first in your niche? They're going to spend it on you. So you're going to advance. You're going to be ahead of the game on the way up. And guess what? You're ahead of the game in as far as time as well. So if, let's say, for example, you're in a niche, you've survived the bad times by branding yourself or continuously, you know, making yourself different and better than your niche. When the market starts going up, there's going to be people who are seeing a market go up. They're going to see you getting lots of sales and they're going to want to copy you. But if you've done a great job at branding yourself, being different and being better, and if it's hard to do, if it's, you know, difficult to do, it's going to take them time to try to figure that out. So what they're going to do, they're going to focus on trying to get fast money. You know, they're going to do all the scumbag stuff to try to copy you, and they're eventually going to fail. And if they don't do the scumbag stuff and they try to do it properly, by the time they get to your level, they will never catch up to you because you've been at this, at making yourself better and different and you've already won the customer's perception of you being better and different, they won't be able to catch up to you. They would have to figure out how to become better and different, more different than you. But if you've done a good job, that won't happen. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, that's enough for the macro stuff. I'm going to try to keep this podcast a little short because I'm still not really sure how my new microphone sounds. So if it's not that great, I mean, I'm listening to it myself, and it's just taking me some time to really know for sure that I have a good settings and all that kind of stuff so the sound is good. But anyways, so if it is bothering some people, I won't make this podcast too long. But if it's great and I'm actually doing a good job, then, you know, good news. But let's go macro and then we'll get up out of here. Micro. So we talked about some macro. We talked about some macro and some micro. But let's get into some more micro situations going on right now. Here's another challenge that a lot of us have been dealing with for the past, at this point, you know, since COVID. You know, we've been dealing with shipping costs, increasing. So if you're buying from wholesalers and distributors and things like that, the cost of receiving those goods have been going up. We're talking about raw materials. We're talking about the raw materials, the price of that going up, the cost of capital, which we'll get into a little more in a second, all going up. And it's shrinking our profit margins, generally speaking. I know on a per product basis, my profit margins have shrunk. All right. And partly due to the increased cost of shipping. So shipping for me, more so shipping to customers. So the cost of shipping to customers has increased a lot. And that has affected some of my products. And the cost of, receiving goods that I buy wholesale, those have been going up. So I've been dealing with that. And also the cost of selling. I didn't mention that. I didn't even write that down. But the cost of selling, right? So you have some platforms, some marketplaces increasing their selling costs. And forgive me, you guys, if you hear noise in the background. My new studio is not soundproof at all. So it might be echoey. It's not soundproof. It's not where it's going to be forever. But I hear dogs barking. I'm not sure if you hear it. But anyways, so you got all these different costs going up and it's shrinking our profit margins. Now, what is the solution to that? You got to increase your volume. But then that's a whole different issue. You got to figure out how you're going to increase your volume. But anyways. So with that being said, if you think about it a little bit further, when you have the macro things going on, right? We talked about interest rates, car sales, home sales. I said car sales, home sales, credit card. Credit card. Interest rates on car loans, interest rates on mortgages, another thing we want to keep an eye out on the macro level is the unemployment, unemployment rate and household debt. Now we're e-commerce, right? A lot of people buy our stuff on credit. I didn't really realize that until a couple years ago. A lot of the money that I've made is people borrowing, borrowing from credit cards or whatever, or Klarna or whatever these third-party credit services are. They're using these services to buy from me. And that's when I really understood what a wealth transfer was. When I got that, I understood, oh, that is the wealth transfer. Okay, or that is an example of a wealth transfer, for example. Anyways, let's stay a little focused here. Going back to micro, So we have all these macro situations that are trickling down into our lives at a macro, at a micro level, excuse me, on our businesses. Shipping costs increasing, raw materials increasing, cost of capital increasing. And all of that is, you know, all of that generally leads to less profit and encouraging us to downsize. That's why the unemployment is gonna, that's why the unemployment is important following that. If businesses are downsizing, then the, obviously the employment rate is going to increase. And that's something that's been happening recently as well. And that is actually probably not, you know, maybe not, you know, I'm not an economist. I don't have a crystal ball or anything like that. But if you actually just look at it from a cause and effect point of view, the unemployment is the final nail in the coffin. We haven't got to unemployment that is significantly alarming, but if that, but you know, we are seeing a lot of job losses and things like that, and you know, a lot of jobs being taken out of the market. We're seeing more of that, but we're also seeing the market still doing better. So where is this money coming from? That's a different question, and that, there's an answer to that as well. But theoretically, if unemployment increases, then we have an issue because that means people have less money to spend on us, right? The sellers. But anyways, so with all of these increasing costs for the business owners, such as ourselves, we're going to receive less profit and we're going to be encouraged to downsize. And in this case, owners become more conscious about how they spend their money. See, on the macro level, we're talking about consumers being more conscious about their money and not wanting to part with their money. But on a micro level, all of these things have pushed us in a direction to where we're spending or we become very stingy with our money. Not in a bad way, but it's less money flowing around in my business. So yeah, I'm going to think twice, three, four, five times before I start spending my money. I'm going to cut ties with, you know, software services that I'm not using that much. And so I'm thinking about all these little things, right, that I want to save my money on. And I went through this process over the last couple of years. I cut a lot of expenses. A lot of software that I've been using for 5 years, over 5 years, I'm not using anymore. My process has become very lean. And I did an episode. I don't remember which one it was on, what number it was. I can look it up. But I did an episode where I talked about... get ready to find it right now. It's episode 68. I think it's 68, but it says software and equipment. Software, the title is Software and Equipment I Use to Run a $375,000 e-commerce business. I don't use some of that stuff that I talked about in that episode. So my expenses went down since then, and I'm still doing, I'm doing just fine. I don't even need it. But and that was back in, that was June 7th that I recorded that episode. That was June 7th of 2022. Anyways, so owners become more conscious about their money, and it makes less and less financial sense. Now, it doesn't mean it's not a good or bad idea. I'm just saying it makes less and less financial sense to expand. Okay. It encourages people to go in that direction. I'm not saying that that's the direction people need or should or will go in, is not focused on expansion, because that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense logically, but financially, it may make sense. Like, okay, like I've noticed for myself, for example, I had to scale back because I was, a year ago, maybe a little more than a year ago, I was really thinking about, okay, well, what options do I have to expand? Because I'm getting to that point where I need to expand. And I may have shared this before, but my expansion capacity, or my capacity, is 60 orders a day. That is the top of my capacity. And at one point, I was almost reaching that. Maybe a year or 2 years ago, almost. Almost 2 years ago. And I was like borderline I was pretty much borderline needing to expand. And then, you know, things start happening. Economics start changing. The competition landscape start changing a little bit. So I started seeing a dump in my sales, and that made me second think that, you know, think twice about that. But also, you know, the economy in and of itself was shrinking. So the economy was shrinking, so I had less need to expand. It didn't make financial sense. So you know what my expansion was in 2022? Here was my expansion. Now, although I'm not hitting 60 sales a day, I did need to expand. But my expansion was another storage shelf. That was my expansion. I think that was $100. I don't remember exactly. I gotta go on Amazon and take a look. I think I spent maybe $100 on that. It's just a shelf that's probably, you know, what is it? Maybe 5 feet by 8 feet. And I put my products on the shelves. That's it. Now, I don't even use all the shelves. I use some of the shelves and the top couple shelves I use for storing other stuff, you know, like older products. You know, like I have some seasonal products that I overbought two years ago. So I'm still selling that stuff. Just put it at the top. You know, I got some equipment I put on the second shelf. In the bottom two shelves, I actually have products that I sell, you know. So that was my expansion. That's fine with me. Only $100 worth of expansion. Now, the other option was to, you know, consider a warehouse, consider a fulfillment center, like a 3PL of some sort, and do all that stuff. But I was like, it's cool. You know, I'm still under my capacity. I'm still within the realm of what one person can do or what I am willing to do. And that's that. That's that. Now, here's where I was going with all of this. So you have all these forces, right? These forces happening. These forces, right, that are causing business owners on a micro level to receive less profit, to be less likely to expand. And the reason why that's so is because the cost of just doing business has increased. But guess what also increases? The cost of failure. The cost of failure increases. Because if your margins are lower and the cost of doing business are higher, if you expand your business or if you take more risk, the cost of failure is more. It's more than before, when the cost of capital was lower, when the price of shipping was lower, when interest rates were lower, access to capital lower. You know, when everything's lower, you can take on more risk because you can handle the failure because the cost isn't too high. Real quick, I skipped over this by accident, but the cost of capital, if you go on Investopedia, there they'll give you a whole different definition about equity and debt. But we're talking about debt. We're just going to talk about debt because that's what most of us deal with. Just the cost to borrow money, right? So to expand, a lot of times, expansion could be, you know, a location. It could be more products. It could be more products that you're already selling. It could be investing in research and development for new products. You know, it could be anything that's going to expand your business. But because the cost of capital has increased, you know, usually people use debt for that stuff, you're less likely to do that. Like I saw myself. I mean, there was plenty of ideas that I wanted to execute on. But now, because cost of capital is higher and all is the cost of failure, if I fail, has increased so much, I'm not thinking about a lot of those things. Now I got to narrow it down to what is the best possible scenario instead of trying to take advantage of a few things at one time, which I have the capacity to do, but I don't want to have that cost of potential failure on my brain. Okay. So now I just got to be more smart, not more smart, just be more conscious, you know, more conscious and more selective about what I plan on doing to expand, whatever expansion is. But anyways, with that being said, so we have all these different things happen that are, you know, in our faces now that wasn't in our faces before. You know, and mainly it's like the cost of failure. You know, it's really just the cost of failure all the way around. That's what we're dealing with. And because that has increased, now we have to make more selective, conscious decisions how we're going to expand our businesses, right? So I have expansion plans that cost a very, 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 very little. See, before my expansion plans had, like I said a second ago, it included products that I wanted to get developed and made to sell. Now, there was some risk. There's always risk in everything you do, but I was willing to take on some of that risk. But now I'm looking at, okay, well, the risk of failure is a little too high. Okay, let me scale back and let me go to something a lot more easy. Okay, a lot more, what's more certain, what's more likely to give me success. So I have those plans. And those plans center around what I'm currently doing, is how to just do more of what I'm already doing. For example, I have like I talked about before, late last year or early this year, I have a private label product. But I talked about it, let's see, December 10th, called White Label Success Update. So it's not a white label. I wasn't giving myself enough credit. It's a private label product. It's not a white label product. But I called it white label at the time. I mean, it was so easy for me to do. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I didn't really do much. I mean, you know, but private label sounds so complicated sometimes. But anyways, it's a private label product. So like I talked about in that episode, which was episode 80 or 79, it says white label success update. Anyways, I talked about at that time, was like, hey, you know, I have this product that I can sell with at least 30. I can sell as a bundle with at least 30 different products. So my expansion is, now I have it listed with probably maybe 10 or so. I don't have all the 30 products. I don't have listings. I don't have bundle listings for those 30 products that I was referring to. So now I'm going to expand it to those products. Expand the bundle, create listings, bundle listings for the additional 20 products that I have that this private label product can be bundled with, okay? So, you know, I'm not trying to get too deep into it. So I apologize if that didn't make much sense. But anyways, go back to the episode and check that out and to get more deep on that. So, yeah, and that's one of the ideas that I have. Another idea, I'm kind of revamping my business per se, just like I'm revamping the podcast, I'm also revamping my business. So I am investing in a new studio setup for my photography. I take the photos for my products. So new background, what else is new? I guess you could say background per se. New background, new product angles where I'm taking pictures of, more lifestyle photography and things like that. So that is the goal, to help me differentiate myself a little bit more, just a little bit more, but also kind of refresh my brand, I guess you could say, and give it a kind of a more fresh feeling. And put more emphasis into photography, product photography, because what you know, when a person when they come across your product, what's the first thing they see? They see your product photography, you know, and also product video, things like that. So that those are my expansion plans that don't seem like expansion plans, but they are. They're to expand my current sales. And on the back end, I will be expanding physically, I guess you could say, because if I'm, you know, making more sales, then I'm going to need more space, and then I'm going to expand more physically. So, you know, that's what's going on with me. So with that being said, that's all I got for you guys. I look forward to starting this next episode with all the new updates and things like that. Like I said, I'm building a studio, and it's not soundproof, so I'm getting that together. But I'm also getting some ideas down, because I want to make sure I'm bringing value each time I come to this microphone. So I'm really honing down my message, making sure it's clear, concise, succinct, working on some intellectual property. Maybe even do video as well, a video podcast. Doing some research on that. So for those of you who want to see my beautiful face that matches the beautiful voice, you dig? So working on that too. So I appreciate you guys. I always do. And sorry it took me so long to get back up here to even do this episode, because I wanted to record this episode actually a week ago. But anyways, with that being said, you guys, stay on top of your business. I hope I brought value to you today. And don't forget to like the podcast, you know, thumbs up the podcast or like it, or hit the notification bells for further updates. Peace.